Well, it's an honor to be here. Hallelujah. It's been a good winter, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. My name's Corey Carlson, and I'm from Hinckley, Minnesota, and married, and I have two kids and three grandkids, and love the grandkids. Amen. It's brought me in a new level of love. You're parents, and you love your kids, but you really have a responsibility with the kids, but it seems like when you have the grandkids, you're just able to love them. Amen. And it just was, you know, as this happened, it was just revealing really how much the Father loves us also, you know. And we're always looking to be perfect. And you know what? Give up. You're not going to make it. Okay? So just cut that out. Okay? And get some goals that you can achieve is just to receive the love of the Father and just believe Him that He loves you with an everlasting love and that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You never have to be alone because He'll never leave you. And so many times we're always conscious of ourselves. We're conscious of the things that we did last week. We're conscious of we know our shortcomings. And the Lord is just saying, you know, I want you to quit looking at your shortcomings and look at my strengths. Because in my strength, you will be strong. Amen. And it was just like this morning, and I'm studying on just spiritual adoption, or the covenant of adoption, you know. And it is so powerful, and I've been studying it, just soaking in it, and not necessarily to preach it. And the Lord says, well, I'll just back you up this morning. I said, Lord, no, I don't want you to back me up. I want to speak what you want me to speak. Amen. So many of us, we love to set the goals and the patterns to what we think they are rather than what God has for us. And we shortchange ourselves. And I found out, you know, a long time in ministry is I just have to be myself. You'll never meet another guy like me. Amen. You'll never see another person preach like me, minister like me, talk like me. And I'm not a cookie cutter, suit coat preacher. And I don't want to be. Because I want to be who God has me to be. And you need to be who God has you to be and be comfortable in your skin. And so many times we feel when we get to here, then we can do this. And when we get more bold, then we'll get here. When we get more healed up, then we can do this. And the Lord just says, just stop that. He says a lot of times He'll heal you on the way to where you're going. Amen. But you have to get on the way where we're going. Amen. We have to get on the path of our destiny. And there's very few people, you know, being a pastor for, you know, quite a few years now. I've counseled a lot of people, known a lot of people, and very few ever make their destiny. They never get on the path because they're always planning their own way. You know, what's most comfortable with them. It's never, if you're going to walk the destiny of God for your life, it is not going to be comfortable. I just sense sometimes you just like everything in order and everything has to be a certain way. The Lord just says, you got to stop it because you're driving yourself crazy. And so, right, amen. I mean, sometimes we just need to let it go. And, you know, I'm a line upon line type person. I just want everything just right. I want to speak just right. I want to be like this great preacher. I want to be like that great preacher. I can't be. I can't control the situation. And see, when you control the situation, you not only control people in its basis of fear, but you also control how much God you can have in your life. See, we're great at controlling and manipulating. We hate to be controlled and manipulated, but we control and manipulate. Isn't that funny how that goes? That's for all of us. And the root of control and manipulation is fear. You're afraid of getting hurt. You're afraid of not being right. You're not afraid of being perfect. Okay? In God's eyes, you're perfect. And you just need to listen to me today. In God's eyes, you're perfect. Amen? So many times we just feel we have to carry on. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to be this type of person around this group of people. We have to act a certain way around this group of people. We have to act a certain way around this group of people. We have to act a certain way. Why? We hate hypocrites. Isn't that being a hypocrite? But yet we're the chief hypocrites of the bunch. See, this is what the world sees. They see a bunch of Christians trying to act a certain way rather than just loving. receiving God's love and then giving God's love back out. It's as simple as that. Ministry is supposed to be a ministry of love, you know, of receiving the love of God freely and then giving it out, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit freely and giving them out. Amen? We have to understand that God will meet us where we're at. Religion says you got to get up here before you're qualified. But the Lord said, the minute you're born again, He's qualified you. The devil's always trying to disqualify you so you can't run the race. But who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren? He's an accuser of us. He has demons watching over us, taking notes on everything that you do, every word you say, every time you get in an argument with your wife, every time things don't go right. All these things. He's taking notes. He's taking notes so he can condemn you with them. But thank God we're not standing in our own righteousness, but now we're the righteousness of Christ, and we stand in His righteousness. We stand in His perfectness. We stand in Him because we've been baptized into Christ. We're in God. Is there anything imperfect in Jesus? Amen? So we need to start telling the devil, hey, in the flesh I'm not perfect, but I'm not living by the flesh. I'm living in the Spirit. Amen? I'm being led by the Spirit. He says, if you live in the Spirit, you'll die. But what really that means is that if you continue to think and keep your eyes on you rather than eyes on Jesus, you're going to die. You can't make it that way. But if you sit there and lose your identity and pick up His identity, you'll live. Isn't that something? We don't have to do anything to earn His love. Humans, man, you gotta earn love all the time. You gotta do this, this, and this. You gotta do this, this, and this. And if you don't do this and this, people don't love you. People reject you. People get cold shoulders. Cold shoulder you. You ever ask yourself, when you don't get your own way, how do you respond when you don't get your own way? Do you reject people? Do you cold shoulder? This is for married couples too. Do you reject? Do you pull back? Do you withdraw? Do you go into your man cave and just you know, there's just no way I can please her anyway because I just give up. Well, don't give up. Just give in to the Lord. Amen? Just give in to Him. See, we're always trying to love people. We know this with Gary Chapman's book. We're always trying to love people the way we want to be loved. Amen? We're always looking for our spouse or someone else to give us the love that only God can give us. And then when we're not close to God or we don't step in and spend time with the Lord and just soak in Him and soak in His love, then we blame everyone else because we're unfulfilled. See, when you get into the presence of God, you soak in the presence of God, you give Him time in your life. It's the best time you can give. I mean, it's the best time spent of your day is sitting in the presence of God. You will be filled daily. People come to my church and they say, well, do you take communion once a month? I said, no. I said, when the Holy Spirit tells us to. But I said, I challenge you and I encourage you to take it every day if you want. You don't need me to sit here and pray a prayer over what's between you and Christ. How dare me? Really? Well, that's right? Do you have to be a pastor to baptize? No. So why are we always throwing things and throwing these things and putting them out of reach for the things that are meant for us? You lead someone to the Lord, you buy a lake, ask them if they want to be baptized. Going out and baptize in the name of Jesus. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but that's, you say Jesus, you got the same thing. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. That used to be a huge debate in the AG church, a long, long time, probably before we were all born, you know. Is there fighting? Who do we baptize? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus? They forgot the verse that, you know, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. So, hello. That means the Holy Spirit and Father God, right? Sometimes we get so comfortable with the way things are done, that when we see things done in the spirit or things done out of the norm, you get offended or you get uncomfortable. You know, most people, they go to church, they want to see if they're comfortable. I said, no, don't. No, did God send you here? If God sent you here, I want you here. If he didn't, I'll pray that God would reveal the church you need to go to. Because I don't want to pastor people that I'm not called a pastor, because it won't work. And the Lord knows what people will fit my personality.
That's right.
Amen? It isn't the leader's job to change his personality and be all to you. No, it's your job to sit there, Lord, what do you want? How can I cooperate with the vision?
Come on. There you go. Right there.
Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we just sometimes as humans, we just... We value our opinion so much. We value our opinion over the Word of God, over the ways of God. We, you know, right? And we need to start asking ourselves when we get hurt feelings, when we close up, why are we doing it? Amen? I got to stay just right about here. I move around a lot, you know? See, I used to be a real note person. I mean, I'd have to stick. And Lord, the prophet from Scotland prophesied over me. He says, I'm going to separate you from your cherished notes. And from that moment forth, I can't stand behind them. But because he wants to speak. Even people that aren't called to the fivefold ministry can gather notes and preach the word of God or speak the word of God, but are they anointed to do it? Did Jesus sit there with a sermon? Did Paul? No. You let the Spirit of God speak through him.
Right.
Yeah, and it says to study to show yourself approved. And I love to study. I love it. Mm-hmm. But when it gets, I don't want to say short time, but time to speak, I want him to speak. I don't want my brain, Pastor Josh is talking about this, I don't want my brain to get in the way. Don't consult the brain. Just let the Spirit come out. Now, it may not come out exactly where you'd want me to speak to you, because I'm just a very... now, person. I mean, I don't know, blunt, maybe? But, you know, what I found in ministry is I used to sugarcoat everything. And I found after 4 or 5 years, the people weren't getting it. And he says, because you're sugarcoating it, why don't you just let me speak the way I want to speak to the people? And let them deal with their emotions. It isn't my job to deal with your emotions. It's your job. Right? You know, see, I just when Lord's speaking this stuff through me like this, I just know that he's trying to set you up to succeed, because the devil will take those. He knows what offends you. And do you think he's not going to use that against you? You can count on that you're going to get offended in a place that you're supposed to be, to try to uproot you, take you somewhere else and let you get planted. And you'll do a little bit of ministry, but you're not where God told you to be. You only get, your crown of rewards on obedience.
That's right.
There'll be pastors that were called to preach, to pastor a 30-person church. They obeyed God. You know how hard it is to obey and stay in a place that only has 30 people when you know you could go somewhere else and have a huge church?
Mm-hmm.
What's better? God looks at my obedience.
Yeah.
Wherever he calls you, he's judging on your obedience. It's better than sacrifice. But obey. How many of us know how hard it is to obey? It's very hard to obey. Because a lot of times when you're told to do something that you don't want to do. Extremely hard. That stubbornness comes in. And it's just like, you ever watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Ferris is calling his friend, and he keeps calling and calling, and finally he just knows, Cameron knows, the only way I'm going to get him to get off me is to pick him up, get out of bed, pick him up, and he's out by his car doing his temper tantrum. I sense that maybe there might be some people that do that here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it, amen? Well, it's for someone else. I'm going to get them a tape. I'll give it to them. Well, how about you just take the tape and listen to it again?
That's it.
You know? Amen? At least suck the anointing of God off him, because there's an anointing there that you can get that will help you and synergize with your anointing, and you'll be better for it. Amen. But I'm afraid. Well, we all are. You think I'm not back there? The devil's sitting there trying to rap on me and on everything that, you know, I should be doing. You don't know what you're doing. People are going to judge you because you're not going to read a scripture verse today, even though I'm already spoke a bunch of scriptures. And by the time I'm done, I'll have a bunch more scriptures. But people want you to read from the Word. No, how about you just reading from the Word 7 days a week? I do. It's not my job to read you the Bible. It's your job to read you the Bible. Amen. I just people come at me. I'm just like, what? You don't even make sense. Men's traditions don't make sense. Men's traditions are there to bind you and keep you there. They're there to set a limit. They're there to limit you, not only you, but to limit God. Most of the time we spend in prayer, we're fighting. Pushing through, trying to push through, instead of just going up into the heavenly places where your rightful position is. You know, Satan is in high places. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we think that Satan owns this whole area. No. No, if we go on up and we're seeing, we pray from where we're supposed to be, we're far above the high places. Amen? Do you know that in those high places, in an area, if you live in an area, and I can find, just asking around and stuff like this, in an area you'll find out what the principality is over a city.
Yeah. Yes.
They'll have mostly the same mindset. It'll be a culture thing. They'll say it's a culture thing, but no, it's a demonic mindset thing. Mm-hmm. And so here, the you cannot battle in your area if you are tied to the culture of Burnsville. Is this Burnsville? Yeah. Okay, Burnsville. Okay? I've been all over last night. I was out coon hunting last night, way out south. So. I'm a hunter. Amen?
Amen?
I like to hunt. You know, I loved the long trip all the way down. I prayed in the Holy Spirit and all the way back, you know, I got saturated. Amen? Anyway, you got to sit here. We have to find out what the culture is, and we have to come and we have to pull the high places down in our mind first before you can go after those other ones. Because those high places, you're connected to it, and it has power over you to resist your thinking. I don't know, you know, and I've driven and prayed a lot. There's many years where I would drive 8 hours a day through all the back roads and everything, through several counties, praying for every home. And I could literally, after I got done or got into it a while, I could tell when I was crossing county lines. One would be depression. One would be a spirit of just a heavy spirit of religion. You'd see a church bell there. When a church bell, that means that there's a spirit of religion. How many fights were over a church bell? How many times are you going to ring it? What does it say in the Word? You know, well, you know, you laugh at that, but how many other things do we get offended at and fight over? Geez, I like blue, and I want this carpet blue. It's royal blue. We're royalty, Pastor. What? We got to change the color of the carpet. Well, you know what I'm saying? I love the color. I love the chairs, you know. Colors, I love every color except pink. But, well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, it just closes me in. But if the Spirit of God is here, He'll deliver me.
Yes, He will. Amen.
Yeah, you know? Pink isn't for me, okay? Some guys can get away with pink, but no, not me. Yellow is pushing it. You can tell my wife doesn't dress me. Hey, I got a lot of nice suits. I know how to dress up. I know how to act. I know how to dress for success. I was a business person. I've owned businesses. I know how to do all that stuff. I don't want the phoniness of it. I hate it. I hate the arrogance of it. Money doesn't make you better than other people. But somehow money or a higher up job causes you to feel like you're better than someone else and you're not. I just, and I know the Lord is tired of that too. Amen? He says to look at yourself soberly. You know? Don't be partial to people that have more money. People come in, oh, he's an engineer, oh, he's a lawyer. Well, you know what? He couldn't get there without that gift. And that gift was given to him.
Yeah.
We need to start looking at people's character. Because that is when you find out what type of person it is, because you have to choose to have character. It just, you're not born with it. I wish we were, you know. But you have to choose to walk in character. I'm not talking about legalism, but character. A person can be a success in one area and his whole rest of his whole life is falling down. I used to work for a man. He hit the Fortune 500. He was listed on the cover of that several times. But his whole family hated him. Even his grandkid. How can a grandkid hate a grand? But they just couldn't stand him because he was just a crumb. He was selfish. And he controlled people with the money. And he was arrogant. And he was hard. So quiet in here, I like that. Praise the Lord. You know, people get up, you know, they come and especially at my church up there, and the people are quiet because they're listening.
Amen.
I'm glad you're listening.
Yeah.
Or you're concentrating and tuning me out. But but you know what? It won't work. Right? Amen? You try it. You can't tune me out. No, I'm just... You know, and the funniest thing how the Holy Spirit uses, you know, especially when it's breathed, the Lord is speaking through me, that people will be in the middle of a family fight, husband and wife, you know. That's a family fight, husband and wife. And they'll be saying, how would Pastor Corey fight in this situation? Because I teach people how to fight, how to disagree. You're going to have disagreements, but you got to disagree the right way. How many of us go from church to church to church and we get offended or someone hurts us and just the thought of them being at church and seeing their face and, oh my gosh, I can't be there anymore. I'm like, it seems silly when you're not hurt, but it seems very real when you're hurt. I'm not. But most of us, we never follow how Jesus tells us how to deal with offense. If you're offended, go to that person. And find out what they meant by that. Just say, man, what you said to me hurt me, and I just want to make sure I understood you right. And 80% of the time, guess what? They will explain to you what they meant, and all be well. 80% of the hurt in your life, and the misunderstandings in your life, if you will confront nicely, the way Jesus would be taken care of within just a matter of a day. What about with the husband and wife when they're sitting back, talking back and forth? Isn't it funny that you get along so good when a person's dating? They're perfect. And then, guess what? We get married, and then we go into the cultural. You go into your, I'm not pointing you guys out, but you're just married, I think, right? Okay. There's nothing wrong here, okay? I'm just using them as an example, okay? But here, you start living the way your parents, running the house the way your parents did, and you start running the house the way your parents did. You start acting like your mom, and you start acting like your dad. And guess what? You said, I didn't sign up for this because I didn't want to marry your dad, and I didn't want to marry your mom. Nothing wrong, nothing against you, Kathy. You know I'm teasing you, right? Okay, good, okay. My wife goes, agitation is not a gift. I said, it is sometimes. Sometimes you got to get, you know, in Jesus' truth, there was always a gift or a nugget of offense there. Because if you don't get offended at times, you're not going to change. You'll go away unaffected. But if you get offended, you'll have to wrestle through it. That's why the Pharisees hated Jesus so much as they had to wrestle through all this stuff. So if you're here and you're having a preacher that preaches like Jesus did, there's going to be some offense.
Come on. Yeah.
But learn how to deal with offense. Ask the Lord, why am I offended? Don't just say, because he said this and I didn't like it. That's not good enough. That doesn't get it. That's not going to get you to freedom. That's not going to help you grow in character. Right? We have a communication problem. And it's been with us forever, I think. I imagine, ever since I got married. I thought I was a good communicator until my wife told me I wasn't. I'm a very good communicator now. Is that something? Do you know that? I am a very good communicator. Marine? I am. No. You know why I am? It's because I studied. I found good leaders that were just super in communication. And I saturated. I take a month conference, my own conference. You know, you don't have to go to someone else's conference to have a conference. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to study? I have a conference between me and the Holy Spirit and whatever he wants to add to me. Then it's absolutely catered to me, right? I don't have to share any of that other stuff, you know, listen to it. Why am I a good communicator? And I want to get better. Okay, I'm not perfect. I didn't say perfect, right? I said I'm a good communicator. I'm getting better, you know? And I'm learning how to ask questions. I'm learning how to, right away when I feel this wall, someone can say something. You didn't even get a text, and right away, this wall, you don't see anything else. If you don't go back and reread that text, you're going to make a mistake. And you're going to have some egg on your face. I don't know how many emails, I mean, right away, it just hits me. I'm just like, just the way they said it to me, okay? I'm like, oh, you know? I said, I don't want to deal with this today. Holy Spirit, go back and reread it without the attitude. Okay, good. Anyway, right? How many times has your husband said something? He said it, you got a totally different aspect from it. And then right away, you hurt me. You know, hey, we all get hurt. I'm very sensitive. I really am. I'm a hunter, but I'm very sensitive. I feel things, I'm telling you, I feel things very, very deep. So I have to work through that. Well, you learn when your dad's a Marine and your whole house has been run like a Marine Corps. My dad was just a great guy and everything, but You don't cry. None of that stuff. And you don't even allow it to be on your face. So, but I'm just telling you, I'm a very sensitive guy. I don't wear pink, but I'm sensitive. But, amen? What's he getting to? Well, you get to it in a second here. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just flowing, okay? Sometimes there'll be a little bit of just to take your defenses down again after I've released a bunch of stuff to you. Your defenses have to come down so we can have round two. Seriously, I'm just learning why. I said, God, why do you do this? Why? I mean, you're just. He says, I gotta give people a chance to take a breath so they can take some more. So don't judge me. You know, I don't know where I'm going. I don't. But after I get there, you'll know. But I trust that God knows. Amen? And if I can just yield to him long enough, we'll get there. Amen? See, we just think we got to know everything. I mean, there's no way you can know. I would love. See, my goal is I want to live three lifetimes in one lifetime because I just love to learn. I love to experience. I love challenges. I love to build. I love all these things. But I will still never exhaust what I want to exhaust. So the Lord loves my zeal for that, but it can get out of control. My natural bent. It's my passion. But my passion can lead me off if I'm not careful, if I'm not continually being submitted to God. Mm-hmm. That's good. Many times we're in our gifts, our natural talents, you can say that. And it's just, we just go and we just function in those natural talents without even yielding them to God. Why would he give me this if he didn't want me to use it? I didn't say he doesn't want you to use it, but you just use it when he wants you to use it. Amen? I feel so good. Do you know how good I feel? I'm telling you, can I tell you what how good I feel? I feel like I'm 20. I'm not kidding. I feel good. Do-do-do. 3 months ago, I wasn't. I was waking up, and I'm like, you know, I'd been in accidents, had a lot of, you know, whatever, and I'd walk through them, confess the word, and by the time I got done with my confessions, I was feeling pretty good, but I'd wake up, and I'm like, God, if this is what, I'm 54 years old, and if I feel this way now, Lord, what am I going to feel like when I'm 70? Anybody ever feel that way? No? Just me? Okay. Well, and I'm like, and then I started digging in. I started to eat very healthy. I have a strong hunger for, see, I raise homing pigeons too. And I love to prepare them. And I will always say my homing pigeons eat much better than America does. When you look at the seeds and everything, I mean, it's, if you ate that way, you guys be healthy. So what happened is I started drinking kombucha. Kombucha, what's kombucha? It doesn't taste good. It tastes a little vinegary. I don't care what it tastes like. And my wife, she's finally, yesterday it was a mile marker. She started to drink it. She said, hey, this isn't so bad. And the Lord said, tell her, either you can take chemo, drink chemo, or you can drink kombucha. You know? Or what is that? Right? What is that? Did I say that right? Hopefully.
Yeah, you did.
If I didn't, you know what I mean. Well, what do you eat? What are you eating? Do you want to eat something that's good for you, that's going to bring life to you, that is going to give you zest for life, that is going to allow your body to heal itself? And I'm not saying that we push out Jesus. You know how strongly I believe in healing. But here we get healed, and by the way we eat, we're sick again. People don't like to be told what to do when they're eating. I want to eat what I want to eat, and then I'll worry about that later. Well, you know what? I had a fibrous tumor. I mean, it was inoperable. Jesus healed me of it. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I don't know if you've ever looked death in the face every day when you're pressing in and believing for that healing, but I'll tell you what, it's not fun. It's not fun every time you go to a doctor's office and they're treating you like you're walking down your last mile and they're going to be burying you. You know, we have so many mental problems. It's because of we're not getting the right proper vitamins. You know, of course, there's some people that we're born with that need to be healed. You know, but there's a lot of us we're just being depleted, deficient, all these things, and then we expect our body to function right without giving it the proper fuel. Well, if I wanted to go and get a nutrition lesson, I would have gone on Tuesday night somewhere, but. Maybe the Lord is telling you is you need to start paying attention. Some of you, I think, are already paying attention, but maybe the Lord said, hey, start eating correctly. Start doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, and you'll start feeling better. Seriously. And does it take self-control? A lot. You know, I was addicted to bread. I don't know if anybody's ever been. I've been addicted to dope and drink and all that other stuff. But God delivered me from it. But I was addicted to bread and butter. That was my snack. I didn't eat sweets, but I ate bread with a lot of sweet butter. Had to be salted too. I had to be delivered from that. Started feeling better. Started losing some of the weight. I didn't feel so bloated anymore. Well, I like bread. And I heard this Ezekiel bread. Give it a rest. There's other things that are better for you. We started, we're building an aquaponic thing now. So we can grow our own fish and we grow our own plants and we can do our teas and stuff. And it isn't that hard. And we're going to take it over and we're going to do that over in Mexico to the orphanages and stuff like that so they can feed themselves correctly. And their neighbors, whole cities, whole towns will open up to the name of Jesus. It will hold healing crusades too. I love that. Get on out there. I mean, just like popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. Healings. Pop, 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 pop. Jesus loves to heal. But the Lord is calling us to be more aware of what we're eating. Because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't ever think of putting water in our gas tank, would we? And expect it to run. But we put empty food into our gas tank, and we don't expect. We expect it to run. And we confess the scriptures. I mean, I'm a believer in confessing who we are and the healing, all that. Please do it. But don't neglect this and expect this to happen. It's gotten quiet in here again. There are so many good things out there. And people say, well, it just costs too much. No, it doesn't. Not if you shop, not if you're wise about what you're spending. And you buy in bulk, it isn't. The funniest thing. Is it okay I'm talking about this stuff? Okay. I think it is, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. I mean, I don't want to talk about this unless you want me to talk about it. But it's about even getting it, you know, this is wild, but I'm going to let it go. It's even about the shampoos that we use. Denny, you know all this, right? I'm just preaching to the choir and that, right? All the shampoos that we use. All those chemicals. It says a woman puts over, every time she gets ready in the morning, you've just absolutely saturated over 200 chemicals into your body that are literally going to go into your immune system to fight you. Your immune system is where cancer is fought. I put, you know how iodine stains, right? I wish I would have had it with me this morning, but I can put iodine on there and rub it in. It'll be just bright yellow. Within 2 hours, it's saturated in to my system. So what is all that other stuff that doesn't have color doing to you? So now, do I use soap anymore? No. Vinegar. Vinegar will clean. Vinegar will open up the pores. We're always worried about perspiring. I think I said that right. I was going to say sweat, but perspiring. Sweat goes up in Hinckley. But perspiring. But perspiring is good. But yet our lymph nodes are up underneath our armpits. And we want to stop our natural cleansing. So we put antiperspirant because society has taught us that it's embarrassing to sweat up underneath your armpits. You can sweat anywhere else, but not up underneath your armpits. But that is literally your body getting rid of all the poisons, toxins. It's not BO, it's TO, toxin odor. And after you open up, you do it enough. You don't smell anymore, hardly. It's amazing. You're just smelling the poisons that are in your system. I feel so good. Kath, I really do. I started lifting weights. Lord told me, because I could walk, I walked 9 miles, and it just wouldn't affect me. I wouldn't get any further. I wouldn't increase. The Lord said, you got to start lifting weights again. I said, well, a 54-year-old can't build muscle. You know what? I found you can. I'm telling you now. I always tease my kids and my grandkids. The sheriff has got his guns back. Amen? So what I do, I go on out and I get an expert bodybuilder, buy his DVD, and I haven't gotten hurt. Usually I get those real, and I am always getting hurt, and I get set back about 6 months. I rip a rib out or something. I start lifting weights. Now, and I love it. 45, 50-minute workouts of just lifting weights. I can't feel, but I feel so good. A lot of times the physical and mental problems that we're having is because of your health and you're not taking care of your body. It is just, you know, I was just talking with Dan. I just think we should just say, I'm not getting any older. I'm going to do something about my diet. I'm going to feed my body. I'm going to allow my body or equip my body to do what it was made to do. There's so much out there that's available to us if we want it. There's people here that suffer with depression, I imagine. And there's some people that are in denial that they're in depression because they've never known anything else. This has just been life. A lot of times it's because of your diet. There's certain things that my now that I'm eating correctly, I'll go to a buffet, I get sick. My body's just saying, "What are you doing?" Well, see, my body would always say that, but I was always sick all the time, but just pressing through it. But now that I know what it feels like to feel healthy, and then that comes in, it's like poison, and that's exactly what it was. Poison has hit me. Grain that's modified, everything's modified. And your body wasn't meant to digest that, so what does your body do? It says intruder, intruder. So it releases things out of your immune system to fight that, and your blood's fighting it. And this is where we get, I just really believe, a jump start of cancer. In other countries, they don't have the cancer that we have. And those same people from those countries, they get here for 5 years, they start coming down with cancer. Hello. The FDA that was there to protect us isn't protecting us. It's after money. You got to start protecting yourself. Okay, I just believe this is, I know, you know. So I couldn't, if I wasn't in a spirit, I couldn't remember all this stuff. I'd have to use my notes. Our skin. You know, you just laugh at this. But I've whatever. But I've learned with my skin even, is that I would have a hard time sweating at times. So you can laugh. There's this concoction. I won't tell you what the main ingredient is because some religious people might get upset. But but there's a lot of other things. And I just, you know, you can take a shower. And then you put this stuff on. And then I take this thing to scrape, you know, to get the junk that's up underneath my skin. And I wipe it with a white cloth. And it'll be dark. What is that? It's toxins that are in my system that have to get out because they are my enemy. Amen? It's not that hard. You know, you got to spend time. Normally, I would just love to jump in there, wash my, get in the shower, and get out and get running. Well, now, it takes me probably a half an hour to get ready to do these things, to prepare my teas. I brew my own kombucha. It's very reasonable now. I've learned how to flavor it so my wife can drink it. You should see the benefits of kombucha. It is unbelievable. It's tremendous. I'm telling you. Within 2 weeks of taking that, I felt like a young man again. Isn't that something? Walmart carries it's $3.47 for 16 ounces, but you can brew a whole gallon of it for that when you learn. Tea. I order tea from California in bulk, and I take all these different flowers, mix it up, and I have my tea in the morning. I find that just that eliminates any excess water weight that you might have on your system that you shouldn't be carrying. See, that water doesn't need to be there. That water's supposed to come in, take all those poisons out, and you're supposed to eliminate or perspire it out. But we're not perspiring. We may perspire here, might sweat a little bit, but our whole body needs to perspire because our skin is a detoxification system. That's why we have all those little pores there. So the poisons can get out. I don't know. I love health too, okay? But anyway. I've given you a lot of good stuff today, you know? And, you know, get a smorgasbord. I just gave you the best smorgasbord you'll ever have. I'm sorry, I know your food's going to taste good, but this is life-changing. And this is just a little bit. I go on, I made my own infrared sauna in my bathroom. How do you do that? I got three heat lamps with three ultraviolet infrared bulbs. I get a little heater and I turn it on up. I go in there for 40 minutes and I sweat, perspire. And when I'm reading the Bible, I'm in there listening to the Bible, I'm getting fed that way too. But I know that I'm absolutely getting healthier every time I step into my little sauna in the bathroom. You know, go try to buy one. They're expensive. Well, you can just build one out of three heat lamps. That's something. Don't stare in it too much. It'll hurt you, irritate your eyes, but it won't blind you, you know. But what that does, it goes on in. Isn't it funny? It goes on inside. I know some of you skinny like you don't have fat, but it goes inside, and it pushes all that stuff out through your fat. Of course, it also breaks down the fat and makes it liquidy. You know, most fat, I don't know if you've been fat, most people, they have rolls, and I got one right here. I'm working on it, really am, it's going down, is that I'll sit there and break up the fat cells. Doesn't it make sense? The Holy Spirit says start, when you're just laying there watching, yeah, watching American Idol or The Voice, I'm just laying there, I'm sitting there, breaking it down. I'm preparing it to be burnt. Right? Okay.
Does a rolling pin work?
Sure. Sure, just don't hit your husband in the head with it. But, yeah. You know? I'm just me. I told you I'm not a cookie-cutter preacher. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants to preach that day, that's what I'll preach. All right? And He does care about your health. And it is appropriate to do it on a Sunday morning. Because He cares about you. And we're crying out, saying, Lord, help us. And He says, no, I have it here. Help yourself. Amen? So I just like, no, I'm not going to age. I don't want to age anymore. Well, it's just a fact of life. I believe that I will die healthy. Amen. When I've run my course, beam me up, Scotty. Amen? I'm not going before, and I'm not going after. Yeah. I'm going when it's time. Yeah. Good to see you. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah. Yep.
And I want to do it healthy. And I want to feel good. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. I don't think there's a round three today. How long have I been preaching? It just seemed like I started, right? That's normally what happens. So, Father, Lord, I just thank You for today. I thank You, Lord, for the people that were here today. And, my brothers and sisters, I just pray, Father God, that you'd bless them, Lord, that your blessings would just chase them down and overtake them. I pray, Father God, the words that were meant for each one of us today, Lord, would just be planted, Lord, and that it would produce a harvest, it would produce a crop, it would produce transformation in the people's lives. I also, Father God, pray a blessing over this ministry, over Pastor Josh and Maureen. Lord, that you just empower them to fulfill this season's destiny. And I pray, Father God, for the people, Lord, that are going to come around them and move with them, Lord, in the vision that you've given them.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray, Father God, that this would be above and beyond what they've even prayed for and even imagined, Lord, that promise, Lord, would be released right now, Lord, that they would just sit there and be amazed at what you're doing. And I pray, Father God, that you'd release higher-ranking angels, Lord, to come down and to undergird and surround this ministry, Lord, to do what you've called them to do, Lord, that there be a special empowerment right now as I speak it, that you'd empower them, Lord,
yes, Lord.
Anoint them.
Thank you, Lord.
To fulfill what you have for them. And I pray, Father God, for a spirit and just a spirit of favor to be upon this ministry, upon Pastor Josh and Maureen, and upon the people,
Lord.
I pray, Father God, that there be great movement in the spiritual realm.
Yes,
I pray, Father God, Lord, that it would be a moving in to the fullness of the kingdom.
Yes.
I pray, Father God, that the word has been preached, people have been evangelized. I pray, Father God, now that the miracle signs and wonders would be a daily occurrence in this ministry.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. And I pray, Father God, for each person here today, Lord, that whatever they need, Lord, that you'd give it to them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. That you would encourage them, strengthen them, empower them, Lord. That the grace of God would be multiplied upon them. And I, again, cover each and every person here, this ministry with the blood of Jesus. That it would go and it would saturate and it would just cleanse every area, Lord, strengthen every area. And I would just say, be redeemed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you guys.